Black History Month is the annual celebration of the study and achievements of African Americans and was created during a time when African Americans weren't being recognized for their central role in United States history. It grew out of Negro History Week and was the brainchild of Black historian Carter G. Woodson, known as the father of Black history. Woodson believed that African Americans should know their past in order to intelligently participate in affairs of this country. If this is the type of content that you enjoy, you can find more content like this at onemichistory.com. Also, if you want to support the channel, you can do so in the description below at my Patreon or my Buy Me Coffee. And please give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and follow us on YouTube. But without further ado, let's get started. In 1964, the author James Baldwin would talk about his education, stating that when I was in school, I began to be bugged by the teaching of American history because it seemed that history was being taught without the cognizance of my presence. And it was this idea that also frustrated Carter G. Woodson almost a half century before the Baldwin quote. And this led to the creation of Black History Month. Carter G. Woodson was born on December 19, 1875 in New Canton, Virginia. His parents were former slaves, Ann Eliza and James Henry Woodson. And even though his parents couldn't read or write, Carter says that his father was illiterate but intelligent, and he bestowed guiding principles of life and the need for education. James Woodson's principles put Blacks and whites on equal footing, and it often meant hardship. But Carter said his father insisted that learning to accept insult, to compromise on principle, to mislead your fellow man, or betray your people is to lose your soul. After graduating, Woodson will receive his bachelor's in literature from Berea College in Kentucky. From 1903 to 1907, he served as a school administrator in the Philippines, and he traveled throughout Europe and Asia at the Sorbonne University in Paris. In 1908, he will receive his MBA from the University of Chicago, and later in 1912, he will receive his PhD in history from the University of Harvard. At the time, he was only the second African American to receive a PhD from the University of Harvard, the first being W.E.B. Du Bois. By 1909, it was a major turning point in his life. He settled down to start teaching in Washington, D.C. In the summer of 1915, Carter G. Woodson traveled to Chicago to participate in a national celebration of the 50th anniversary of the emancipation sponsored by the state of Illinois. Woodson joined the other exhibitors with the Black History Display, and thousands of African Americans traveled from all across the country to see the exhibits and to highlight the progress that Black people had made since the end of slavery. Despite being held in a coliseum, the crowd overflowed with 6,000 to 12,000 people waiting outside for their turn to see the exhibits. Inspired by the celebration, on September 9, 1915, Woodson, Jesse E. Moreland, and three others organized the Association for Negro Life and History. The purpose of the organization, in Woodson's words, was the collection of sociological and historical data on the Negro, to study the people of African blood, to publish books in the field, and to promote harmony between the races by equating one with the other. In the beginning, the association was a one-man show, with Woodson producing, directing, writing, organizing, sweeping the floor, and providing most of the money. Even after the organization had launched, few members were ready to assume financial responsibility and delayed carrying out programs or demonstrations. Delay was not Carter G. Woodson's way. So in January 1st, 1916, without consulting the Executive Council, Woodson published at his own expense the first issue of the Journal for Negro History. The Executive Council was enraged, but Woodson was undaunted and pressed on, and the executive leadership reluctantly followed. The association would succeed through sheer force of personality and would go on to publish books, fund researchers, and shape the thinking of large masses of African Americans. By 1920, he had organized the Association for Negro Publishers, which made possible publications for the circulation of valuable books by African Americans that were not being accepted by most publishers. In 1922, he became the dean of Howard University and West Virginia State. He would go on to lead the teaching profession to give himself completely to the Black History Movement. Later that same year, he would publish his own book on the history of Black America entitled The Negro in Our History. Woodson would urge Black civic organizations and Black intellectuals to promote the achievements and history of African Americans. But in 1925, he decided the association would shoulder that responsibility, stating that they would both create and popularize the knowledge of Black history. This led to Woodson sending out a press release announcing Negro History Week on February 7th, 1926. Woodson chose February because of tradition. February encompassed the birthdays of two great Americans who played a prominent role in shaping Black history, namely Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass. Abraham Lincoln's birthday is the 12th of February, and although Frederick Douglass' exact birthday is not recorded, he would come to celebrate it on February 14th. Since Lincoln's assassination in 1865, the Black community had been celebrating the fallen president's birthday. And since the late 1890s, the Black community had also celebrated Frederick Douglass's birthday. Aware of these existing celebrations, Woodson would then build Negro History Week around these celebrations. His plan was to reform these celebrations from the study of two great men to the study of a great people. He believed that history was made by the people, not simply Lincoln and Douglass, and envisioned the study and celebration of African Americans as a whole. He felt that it increased the chances of Negro History Week's success. In the beginning, the primary emphasis of Negro History Week was to encourage the teaching of Black history in America's public schools. The first Negro History Week was met with lukewarm success, gaining the cooperation of a few departments of education in states in North Carolina, Delaware, and West Virginia, as well as a few cities in Baltimore and Washington, D.C. In subsequent years, Woodson began to be overwhelmed by the response to the week. With crucial support from African-American newspapers, Negro History Week appeared across the country. The 1920s were the decade of the New Negro and the Black Renaissance, and during the early 20s, the Great Migration led to over a million African-Americans migrating from the rural South into industrialized northern cities. They would congregate in urban centers within these cities and created a new generation of African-Americans with a greater sense of racial pride and consciousness. Along with the expanding Black middle class, they became participants in and consumers of Black literature and culture. As Woodson and the association scrambled to meet demand, they set a theme for annual celebrations. They provided study materials, lessons for teachers, plays for historical performances, posters about important dates and people, and they attempted to provide the people with just a steady flow of knowledge. Some high schools formed Negro History Clubs, mayors would issue Negro History Week proclamations, and the Association for Negro Life and History would open local branches that stretched across the country. Woodson believed that eventually Negro History Week celebrations would come to an end, but not the study of Black history. In fact, Woodson never envisioned that Black history was a one-week affair, and he pressed schools to use Negro History Week to demonstrate what they learned all year long. And in that same vein, he also established a Black Studies Extension program for adults so they could learn about Black history all year long. With this idea, African Americans could learn about their past on a daily basis so that the time would come when an annual celebration was no longer necessary. Woodson believed that Black history was too important to America to be crammed into a limited time frame, and he spoke of shifting Negro History Week to Negro History Year. During the 40s, there was an effort to attempt to expand on Black history in schools and Black history celebrations before the public. African Americans in West Virginia began to celebrate Negro History Month, and in the South, some teachers began to teach Black history as a supplement to American history. Also, during the Civil Rights Movement, Freedom Schools, which were alternative schools for African Americans, began to incorporate Black history in their curriculum. The idea was that the Negro History Movement was an intellectual push on the part of a larger effort to transform race relations in the United States. By the 60s, Negro History Week was well on its way to becoming Black History Month. The shift to a month-long celebration started even before Carter G. Woodson's death in April 3, 1950, but really picked up steam in the 1960s. The 1960s were a decade where African Americans became increasingly conscious to their links to Africa. For example, in Chicago, community activist Frederick H. Hammurabi would start celebrating Negro History Month, and using his cultural center, the House of Knowledge, would infuse Black history and historical links between African Americans and African culture and traditions. February 1969, Black educators and United Black students of Kent State University first proposed the idea of Black History Month. The first celebration would take place at Kent State a little over a year later, January 2nd to February 28, 1970. 50 years after the first Negro History Week celebration, President Gerald Ford would officially recognize Black History Month during the celebration of the United States Bicentennial. Gerald Ford would urge Americans in celebrating Black History Month to honor two often neglected accomplishments of Black Americans in every endeavor throughout our history. 10 years later, in 1986, the United States Congress in a joint resolution between the House and Senate would designate the month of February National Black History Month. Today, Black History Month is celebrated in Canada in February and in the UK and Ireland in October. And the National Association for Negro Life and History continues to delegate a theme for each Black History Month in keeping with the practice that Carter G. Woodson started. This year's theme is Black Health and Wellness as the United States continues to fight the coronavirus pandemic. In 2016, Barack Obama would state during a Black History Month celebration,
"So we are so proud to honor this rich heritage, but Black History Month shouldn't be treated as though it is somehow separate from our collective American history, or somehow just boiled down to a compilation of greatest hits from the March on Washington or from some of our sports heroes. Now, there are well-meaning attempts to do that all around us, from classrooms to corporate ad campaigns, but we know that this should be more than just a commemoration of particular events. It's about the lived, shared experience of all African Americans, high and low, famous and obscure, and how those experiences have shaped and challenged and ultimately strengthened America."
Thank you. I'm Country Boy. This has been One Mic Black History. This type of content you enjoy, you can find more content like this at onemichistory.com. Also, if you want to support the channel, you can do so on my Patreon page or my Buy Me Coffee in the description below. And please give me please give me 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and subscribe to my YouTube channel. Peace.